At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 165 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns today, ready to look back over the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And, well, you might still be able to hear it in my voice. I'm not feeling 100% still, but someone that told me before we started recording today that he looks sick in the good way is Jamie183, because he's wearing a Renault hat.
Yes, in solidarity with our fallen comrades at Alpine, I've decided to put the Renault hat on. So there we go. Luckily, one of us is at full health to carry this podcast. But Matt is soldiering on, so fair play.
Thanks. Thank you. You know, it's been a tough old time, but I reckon I've come out less badly scathed than Alpine still at the end of the day. But yeah, obviously, Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, it kick-started in quite dramatic fashion, didn't it? In what would have been a pretty, well, by far and away, I think, the worst Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, was at least made a little bit excited because Carlos Sainz had appendicitis.
Yeah. So Saturday morning, wasn't it? Or he felt unwell on the Friday.
Morning.
No, I'm getting it
Thursday,
all wrong.
Thursday, yeah.
It was all on Saturday. So, Thursday, he felt unwell during practice, but still did FP1 and FP2. And then Friday morning, we get news that he's pulling out of the race. And having taken pole position in Formula 2 on Thursday, Ollie Bearman is drafted in to Ferrari. Ferrari's youngest ever driver at 18, which is a horrific amount of years younger than we are.
Born in
2005.
Five,
which was the year Fernando Alonso won his first championship. He's still on the grid now.
He's the only ever driver to race with the person that won the world championship the year he was born in Formula One history. Fun fact.
Really?
Wow. Never happened before. But when has there ever been a driver still on the grid 18 years after they won their world championship? It might be one of those ones that never really happens again, unless Alonso keeps hanging around.
How many years have there been since 2007? Not that many. But how many did he win in 07? 08.
Yeah. 14 to 16.
Yeah.
Eh?
Do you think?
Oh wait, yeah, 16.
Oh wait, it was 16 years ago. So do you think Hamilton's still racing in 2026? And there's an 18-year-old on the grid.
Well, he's got a contract for it.
Antonelli will be on the grid by then.
Yeah.
He wasn't born in 08 though, was he?
I don't know. To be fair, Kimi Antonelli must be.
I don't think so. Yeah, he must be. Born in 08 would make him 16 now. There's no way he's in F2 at 16. That's ridiculous if he is.
Yeah. No, he's 17. 17.
Okay.
Still.
Good. Good. But you never know. It's a weird one. Alonso just, yeah, it's been hanging around for quite a while. But fair play. He's not blocking seats, like a certain journalist said.
Yeah, that was quite
funny. We should get away from that straight away. Yeah, Bearman came in. Pole position in F2 was taken off him. I thought he should have got the points for those. I don't know what you thought.
You don't get the points until you're on the grid, unfortunately. But yeah, But I think he's been last, isn't he, in F2?
Yeah, he hasn't got any points yet. And neither is Martin's and Neva, and Antonelli's got like 2 points or something.
Yeah, wild. Our top three for this year are now pretty much the bottom three.
Yeah, not great in F2, but Bearman, obviously F1 debut, you've got to turn it down to drive for Prema. But you got 1 hour practice in FP3, didn't stack it. But no. Someone who did was Zhou Guanyu, which was quite annoying for me. So he didn't make qualifying by about 30 seconds. Which
it was
is
less
really
than that, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah. He was on his outlap when the session ended. But yeah, Bearman did an alright job. We'll get onto it later. But yeah, straight into qualifying, and he no issues getting through Q1. Sadly for him, he was out in Q2, just in P11. But he did almost knock out Lewis Hamilton, which would have been unbelievably funny on Twitter. if that had happened.
It would have been wild. Like, even as a Hamilton fan, I can agree that would have been absolutely wild there. To be fair, Mercedes once again, especially with a one-lap pace, they looked worse than they did in Bahrain, didn't they? Like, in Bahrain, Hamilton made a mistake, which ruined his Q3 run. Here, they just looked slower than... They were probably, I would argue, probably the fifth fastest car, because obviously they beat out Stroll, but Stroll's useless.
Yeah.
But obviously Red Bull looked still very quick. Yeah. Ferrari, McLaren and Aston Martin all looked to have more pace in the car than Mercedes did this
weekend. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Certainly on quali pace, I think Mercedes was probably the fifth fastest car, which is poor, very poor by their standards. And two of those teams faster than the customer teams.
Well, they have admitted now, haven't they, that they reckon the simulator data is out. They need to recalibrate it and work out what on earth is going on, because they just aren't getting the results from it.
Isn't that what the winter's for, Mercedes?
Yeah, but you don't know, do you, until it goes out on the track?
I guess, until it gets on the track, yeah.
Until you go, still, hang on a minute, this number isn't the same, then but there's no way of knowing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was, what, P7 and 8 on the grid, wasn't it, for Mercedes? But, yeah, no real surprises in qualifying. S. Alonso doing as well as he did might have been a surprise. Yeah, Hulkenberg breaking down in Q2 was fun, because he was definitely getting Q3 and knocking Hamilton out.
No, not here.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't.
Magnussen almost got Q3. Hulk's
Magnussen was like 0.4 out, which is pretty much their gap last weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Hulk's got 0.4 in him.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so it was a shame, but P15 on the grid. But we'll get into how Hulk did later, because I'm very ready to blow that trumpet.
I'm sure.
Yes, and Yuki Tsunoda, shout out to him, did all right in qualifying. Sadly, once not again, in the race.
Yeah, once again, got the better of Daniel Ricciardo. So, Red Bull, give him the seat if you want to get rid of Perez.
So, if anyone who predicted Ricciardo to take the seat for Monaco in pre-season.
Shocking.
Looking a bit silly.
Shocking. Well, let's be fair, Red Bull is still falling apart. So, we'll wait and it see what true. Happens with it.
Maybe they might be replacing Max by Monaco at this rate.
Well, yeah, with a bit of luck. but I mean, yeah, looking at it, though, qualifying was bizarre, wasn't it? Because it feels like at the moment, qualifying, which should be the exciting bit, and of course Q3 should be the most exciting bit of it all, seems to actually be the least predictable. Because Q1, it was the same five cars as it was in Bahrain, wasn't it? Both Alpines, because they're awful. Both Alfa Romeos, because they're not particularly great either. And Logan Sargeant, because he's not particularly quick over one lap. It's kind of just the debate every week as to whether Stroll will make it into Q3 or not, or whether he's going to give one of the other backmarkers a chance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And obviously this time, well, it was a Ferrari out in Q2 with Behrman, but that's kind of understandable. He's driven a car for 90 minutes before. Not even that. What is it? It was about 90 minutes, wasn't it? Practice and quali.
Yeah.
So you had one of those outsider teams with Tsunoda in Q3 replacing the missing Ferrari.
And
shout out to Science, by the way, for getting back into the paddock on race day.
Yeah, he did very well, bless him. Obviously, we wish him a very speedy recovery. He is hoping to be back in the car for Australia, isn't he?
I most certainly will be. Like, appendicitis.
Yeah.
Appendectomies are not that particularly dangerous surgery, so he'll be fine.
No. Well, say, it's just the recovery time, isn't it, on it? But I think, I'm sure Behrman would quite happily bin off another weekend in Prema at the moment to give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah, the way Prema are doing as well, definitely.
Well, they might have done all right this weekend. He did take pole after all, but still.
Yeah, he was on pole, I suppose.
Let's get into Grand Prix Sunday then. And the drama, for a start. Sorry, yeah, exactly. the drama pretty much kicked off immediately, didn't it? Because Alpine's bad year. Gasly basically broke down before the race even started, didn't he?
Yeah. Did you see the team radio video, by any chance? Basically, on the grid before the formation lap, Gasly had said he'd done like a big hype for team radio, being like, "Oh, anything can happen. You know, it could be a crazy one. Let's keep our options open, and take our chances." And then before the lights even go out, he's broken down with the gearbox problem. It's so just unbelievably bad. French. I feel really bad for Gasly. I don't feel bad for Ocon because I don't particularly like him. But
how can a works team be this bad at the moment? Like, it makes no sense at all, does it?
No, the amount of money that they've poured in, they should at least be ahead of the other four backmarker teams.
And what I don't get as well is, obviously, we'll mention the other driver that DNF'd, I'm sure, pretty soon. But no other team is having, you know, we're 10 years into these engines now. no one else has had a mechanical failure this year. I know, obviously, this is the only mechanical failure so far of the year.
Hulk did in Q2, to remind you.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, in a Grand Prix. You know, it's Alpine. Not only does it feel like the car's underpowered, but it's also still unreliable. And I don't get how 10 years into these regs, how they're still struggling with that.
Yeah, it's probably because their engines are built 500 miles from their car. It's like, why? Why are they in two places? Who knows? But yeah, it's not going well for Alpine right now. And Gasly was out before the race even began and was the first retirement of the season because there were none in Bahrain, obviously.
Yes, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, early on though, wasn't it? The other funny one was Lando Norris's jump start that somehow wasn't a penalty.
I can only assume the sensors didn't go off because it's all automated, isn't it? But it looked like they should have gone off based on the replays. Maybe they also said the sensors might not have been functioning because it's not the sort of thing you find out until it happens.
What I don't get, of course, is it just depends on how far forward you go. So, yeah. I mean, you could end up theoretically in a world where drivers are deliberately trying to jump the start but starting half a grid box back. So that way you don't get done for jumping it. It should be pretty clear cut, shouldn't it? If a car moves before the lights go out, it's jumped the start. Yeah. Like, it should be pretty... Like, if another driver can notice that... And what worries me is, it wouldn't surprise you if the FIA went, it can't be a penalty, he got hampered by it, he didn't gain anything from it. No. If he can't start the car at the right time, it doesn't mean he shouldn't get penalised for it.
Yeah. No, it goes back to Bottas's one in Austria 17, wasn't it? Where he did begin to move before the lights went out. He just got away with it because the lights went out, like, a millisecond later. So... Yeah, it's,
but this
I think
one was obvious.
Cut and dry. This one was obvious, yeah. And I did like that on Friday after qualifying, they asked him what his plan for the race was, and he said, jump the start, take the lead, both of which happened. So not because of the jump start, but yeah, Lando Norris predicting the future, fair play.
When's he going to predict he's actually going to win a race? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Or when is he going to predict that he's going to fight Max Verstappen for position at some point? Because I genuinely don't think we've seen that in Lando's career.
Pick your battles, isn't it? But he knows he can't beat him in the current cars.
Well, yeah, but make his life more difficult, please. early on, though, obviously all eyes pretty much were on Behrman, weren't they? Because I was just praying he didn't get taken out or didn't get involved in a shunt or anything like that.
It would have been really funny.
It wouldn't have. I would have been gutted for him. 18 years
old. I do like the bloke, but I feel like any sporting career with a bit of heartbreak at the very beginning, it sorts the career right out.
Right.
Okay. You know, like Hamilton losing 07 was quality for him.
Right, okay. We're still waiting for Lewis Hamilton's book, by the way. Because that'll be a read and a half. Perez obviously had that decent little battle with Charles Leclerc off the start, didn't he? But, I mean, it was pretty much, wasn't it? Just Red Bull, once again, able to go half a second lap faster than everyone else. And the really annoying thing at the moment, isn't it, is Max gets away before the DRS is even enabled. So it's not even like he's having to work hard early on. He builds up a 1.2 second lead on lap one. And to be fair, this weekend we saw him again. But only because of an early safety car. Because, of course, Lance Stroll did a Lance Stroll.
I can't believe we've been doing this podcast for 3 years and people still rinse us for hating on Stroll. And he's still crashing. He's seven seasons into his Formula One career.
He's still making rookie mistakes. That's the problem I have with it. Like, people are going, but he's getting better. No, he shouldn't have the time to get better anymore. He should be gone.
He should be good or gone. Yeah.
Like, we get it.
His caliber of driver generally gets about 3 years.
I reckon three years is probably too many, to be honest, for someone like Stroll. But I get, obviously, you're coming from, like, the TV, that kind of thing. Yeah. Lance Stroll should not be a Formula One driver, and it's all well and good going, he's delivered here and there. Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago for 3 Grand Prix. That's not good enough.
It's also mad that he's a pole position holder. What happened there? Who knows?
Well, that car was ridiculous in those conditions.
But he beat Perez. I guess Perez isn't actually that good, is he? But
Perez isn't that
so
good in the rain, weirdly.
No, it's true. But yeah, he's forever going to be a bottom six driver on the grid. I feel like there's no improvement with him, and it's almost like, what's the point? he's not the worst driver on the grid by any means, I don't think, but he's never going to get into like the top 10 on the grid in my mind.
You say he's not the worst driver on the grid by any means. I would suggest
he's better than Sargent.
Sargent, he's better than. But when you factor in the amount of experience he's got, I'm trying to think of anyone else worse. I mean, some might argue Zhou.
He's not much worse than Magnussen.
Some might argue Magnussen, but he's just useless, isn't he? And this is what annoys me so much is, of course, the fact that, you know, as people go, oh, well, it was just a little mistake. Yeah, but they're happening. You know, there's still a good 3 or 4 Grand Prix a year, reliably, where Stroll will either crash out by himself or get him, you know, be the cause of a clumsy incident that ruins his race.
Where did he finish in Monaco last year when Alonso should have won?
Oh, he was way down when he stacked it.
Did he stack it?
I'm pretty certain he stacked it. Have a look for us. Yeah, because the problem I've got with it, of course, is if Aston Martin had, I'm not even suggesting they get another Fernando Alonso, but even if they got a respectable number two, they could be in that fight with McLaren, Mercedes, and Ferrari this year. But they won't be, and it again is Lance Stroll's fault.
Get Albon or Hulk in there. And
exactly. Well, Albon.
They'd
yeah,
lose to Alonso.
So, not Hulk so much.
They
yeah,
would. They would absolutely both lose to Alonso.
At least Alonso's got some support in that team then.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. But one of us is going to rep Stroll at the end of the season. So,
forgot about that. Oh, man. I mean, when was Stroll? Didn't get a podium last year, did he? He won't get a podium this year.
He hasn't had a podium since they were Racing Point in 2020.
Was it Bahrain?
I guess Bahrain. Sakhir, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He just, begs belief, doesn't it? How he steers. I mean, I totally get why he's got an F1 seat. But why has he got an F1 seat still is the big problem, isn't it, with Stroll?
Can someone richer than Lawrence Stroll come up? That would be great.
Exactly. I mean, and people go, oh, well, he just nicked the wall. Yeah, but no one else did that. Ollie Bearman, that had been driving Formula cars for 90 minutes prior to the Grand Prix, didn't hit that wall like that. I mean, he did graze one of the walls right in the race, but still. But, yeah, I mean, if you didn't see it, Stroll going into the final sector, turned in too early, and immediately ripped off the front wheel and went straight into the wall. It was a big crash, but, you know, it was just... What it was, plain and simple, wasn't it, Jamie, was a rookie mistake. And exactly. In your 7th year in Formula 1, I mean, to put it into perspective, by this point in Lewis Hamilton's career, he'd won a title with McLaren and was winning his first title with Mercedes. That's how long Lance Stroll has been in Formula 1 now.
By this point in Max Verstappen's career, he already had... He was on his way to his second title as well.
Exactly, yeah. He'd come off back-to-back... two in the first 3 Grand Prix DNFs. It's so stupid that Stroll continues to get what is a decent seat in the sport. And I mean, I put a tweet out about this as well. Like, there are so many drivers in F2 and F3 at the moment that not necessarily that they'd absolutely be the reincarnation of Michael Schumacher or Lewis Hamilton or anyone like that, but would be decent in a Formula 1
car. They deserve a shot.
They absolutely deserve a shot because you just don't know how well they'll do. But the problem is at the moment, of course, is no teams want to risk it because they aren't allowed to test the cars enough. I know obviously now they're allowed to do tests with the 2022 cars, but obviously they haven't got the budget for it. Formula 1 needs to allow the teams, and I get obviously that this would only really benefit the bigger teams, but allow them, say, a 5 million, I don't know how much it costs to go test a Formula 1 car, but say 5 or 10 million euro to go let a junior driver go wring the neck out of one of the older cars for a few years, 2022 car, for like 8 weekends a year. It's become such a problem at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it's a shame.
Vachon wouldn't be one that I'd let do it, but okay.
Vachon would not be one of them. Luckily he got disqualified from his win, so that was good.
But yeah,
safety car, to get back onto topic.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, I've ranted enough.
Most people made a pit stop, and it made me quite sad, because from last year, you know that the one thing that keeps races interesting is strategy variation, if the race is dead. And when everyone but 4 drivers pits on the same lap, you have no strategy variation for the rest of the race. So that was quite sad. But thankfully, the four drivers who did stay out were able to make things a bit interesting. So you had Norris, who took the lead. Hamilton stayed out on his mediums, was P3 behind Verstappen. And then you had Hulk and Joe, P8 and P10 on the restart. Obviously, all of them needed to do a stop, and they were basically waiting for another safety car or another opportunity to make a pit stop, which never came. But something did come to one of their aides later on in the race. But yeah, meanwhile, because it was a busy pit lane, Red Bull threw Perez under the bus and gave him a 5-second penalty for an unsafe release. That was, any question mark over the Perez challenging Max for the win was gone.
Yeah. Makes you wonder whether they just deliberately kept it at arm's length, but I'll take my tinfoil hat off for now.
Yeah, I don't think Max was ever on a threat,
realistically. He was pretty much matching him for the rest of it, to be fair. Perez is not a bad driver at Jeddah.
No, we haven't got to the tracks with proper human rights records yet. So
no, exactly. We'll see how Perez can thrive still.
Yeah, because he got second place in the first two races last year, didn't he? No, he won.
He won in Jeddah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course he did.
Better than Max in Jeddah last year. I mean, yeah, then again, the star of the show for the next few laps was actually Ollie Bearman, wasn't he? Because he was one of the only drivers that was kind of out of the car's position. But he pulled off a blinder of a move on Yuki Tsunoda that showed confidence in the car.
He did. Little dummy in turn one.
And then Magnussen just started beefing people, didn't he?
Oh, this was so funny. Obviously, I'm a Hulk fan and a Joe fan. It was helping them both out a little bit. Hulk more so. But Kevin Magnussen beefed Alex Albon into a wall. That was a genuine mistake. I've never seen Magnussen be apologetic, but he actually was after running Albon into a wall into turn five.
He's got a kid now. He's gone soft.
Yeah, he has got a bit soft. He's no longer 2017 Magnussen talking about balls all the time. But the other thing that happened, he tried to make a bold move on Yuki Tsunoda. Well, he did do a bold move on Tsunoda, but he ran off the track. And now, because the drivers all complained last year that the penalties were too soft going off track and making an overtake, the FIA unveiled their new strategy for penalties, which is just to double them. So he got 10 seconds for overtaking off the track, which I thought, it looks harsh, but I understand why they gave it, because 5 seconds, we found out last year, wasn't enough.
I thought it was completely fair. I mean, it depends on the context, doesn't it, I suppose? Which, of course, they could never implement as a rule. But, of course, basically, it was just like, for example, I think it was, George Russell last year, wasn't it, at Monza, that was the culprit for this. Obviously, cut the chicane, got the penalty, but built up a 15-second lead. And, you know, that obviously just makes it beneficial for drivers that are in a much quicker car.
Just to straight line every corner and take the places, because you know you're going to gap them.
Exactly. But I think with things like that, I still think they should impose that you have to give the place back up and you have to make the overtake on the track. Because that way then, first of all, they don't gain an advantage from it. Second of all, it doesn't matter if they gap them or not. And third of all, you get another battle for the position.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. I think, I swear they used to do that. Pretty much,
yeah,
like back
years ago.
A really weird reference. 2010 Silverstone.
Yeah.
Alonso passed Kubica off the track at Vail, and they were going to make Alonso get the place back, but Kubica retired before they could, so they just gave Alonso a drive-through penalty instead, which ruined his race.
It might be one of the only things that makes you understand about why, like 2008, wasn't it, where basically the only penalty you got was a 10-second stop go. No matter what.
Yeah, it was
happens.
A drive-through, a stop-go, a DSQ. That was the options.
But I think they should be forcing drivers to give backup places more.
No, I completely agree.
It
helped out Kevin Magnussen, because he was running P12. You had Hulk in P10, and you had Joe in P11. And there was like maybe 5 seconds from Hulk to Joe, and then about 3 or 4 seconds to Magnussen. And Hulk obviously has to pit again, and everyone else behind him, so does Joe, and everyone else behind Magnussen doesn't have to pit again. So Haas, to be fair to him, pulled an absolute blinder and made Magnussen create a 20-second window for Hulkenberg to pit and come out still in P10, which made for great entertainment. I absolutely loved it.
It was one of the only interesting things.
Yeah, Magnussen was basically beefing everyone behind him, mostly Tsunoda, and then eventually Tsunoda got forced off the track at turn two, the exit, quite in a fair manner, which made Ocon overtake Tsunoda. And obviously the Alpine has no straight line speed, so it made it really easy then for Magnussen to not even worry going into turn one that he was going to get overtaken. So, yeah, Magnussen was going about 3 seconds a lap off the pace. And
it's sort of ridiculous, wasn't it? Close to 2 seconds in sector one. He would just live it out through flat-out corners.
Oh, it was so hilarious to watch. And this meant Hülkenberg got a gap. So he pit, still came out P10, and ran to the end of the race. So we love it. A point for Nico Hülkenberg. Thank you very much. First points in a Grand Prix since Melbourne last year.
Oh, that is a terrible run. I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? Because Racing Bulls now have come out saying, oh, we might go to the steward about this. It's, you know, it's unfair. Well, if it's unfair, overtake him. Otherwise, is there still a bigger problem at hand in the sport that even when someone's deliberately driving 3 seconds off the pace, are a Jeddah of all places, that you still can't overtake them? I mean, I wouldn't want to
He was being clever with it.
Yeah, exactly.
He was being clever with it.
But again, you know, it made me like, I put a tweet about this. You know, Racing Bulls, if they go to the stewards about this, then I hope they turn around and go, look what Perez did in Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because like, Perez did the exact same thing. Even worse, he was costing him 5 or 6 seconds a lap, wasn't he?
Yeah. It just is ridiculous, isn't it?
But it was good from Haas.
Exactly. It was very clever by Haas, and that one point means they're sixth in the constructors now, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. The fact that points for those bottom five teams will be hard to come by, genuinely.
Well, apart from Stroll. It'll give them all
That's what I mean. But some races, Stroll will be competent, and he'll just hoover up points. Exactly.
Stroll will give them up, like, 8 points this year.
But then you get a race where two of the top 10 crash, and suddenly you're giving out. You know,
but how often does that happen? This is what I was thinking about, because you mentioned this last week, and I was like, when does this ever happen? But it might happen like once or twice a year. Well, Albert Park, we'll wait and see.
Albert Park, there was loads of crashes last year.
There was.
All of them were in the bottom half of the grid, really.
Sauber managed to mess up, didn't they, again? Or State Kick Sauber, some reason, whatever we're calling them.
For some reason, so Bottas was running in this Magnussen train, and they just pit him. For a second
wanted to
time,
go
he made a pit under the safety car. Yeah, but it basically he's obviously not driving a very quick car. So
and Hamilton and Norris Bottas, still needed to pit.
Yeah, Bottas was screwed over. But the other thing that happened was Joe obviously was running out of sync with everyone. Pitt would have come out close to the back of the train on fresh soft tyres until they gave him like a 30-second pit stop for the second week running. With that Sauber team, there's some serious problems right there.
Well, Audi, of course, have just announced that they're buying 100% of the team, and they've got to be looking at that going, yeah, we need to just sort this out sooner rather than later.
We need to kick them all out, start from scratch. Yeah, we'll see. But to be fair, at least this week, they were never getting points reasonably in that car because it didn't have the pace.
But it just doesn't have the pace anywhere, does it?
It might somewhere. They were all right in Bahrain. They were probably 6th or 7th fastest in Bahrain.
Yeah, I suppose Joe had a good run, didn't he? But yeah, I mean, there was... it was a bit like last year in 2022, isn't it? There's a lot of close racing going on, but close racing doesn't always mean better racing, does it? We watched Piastri spend, nearly 20 laps trying to find a way around Lewis and just couldn't. That was partly because the McLaren was way too draggy. But then it worked in their favour through the first sector, because later on, obviously after Hamilton and Norris pit, Lewis was losing up to a second in sector one.
Yeah, and the McLaren looked very downforce heavy and not very straight line speed oriented.
Like they said, the DRS made no difference.
Yeah. It swings and roundabouts, that kind of thing. But it was a little nice little battle when they both pit, came out, 8th and 9th, wasn't it? With the task to try and catch Behrmann, who'd been running at the back of the top teams for most of the race. But yeah, they couldn't catch him. And it looked like for a bit they were going to, but obviously the pressure was really high on Behrmann and he dealt with it really well. So
he did do a fantastic job. An absolutely fantastic job. And of course, someone else that was trying to prove themselves to a big team was Daniel Ricciardo, and he didn't do a fantastic job. Really lazy spin towards the end of the afternoon, was it? Which, what I love about that more than anything else, was the fact it was Perez coming round to lap him at the same time.
Was it?
I didn't know that. Perez was the one directly behind him into that first corner.
Yeah, it was not a good look. And actually, the RBs in the race, both of them were just so off the pace. I mean, Tsunoda seemed to have flashes of speed, but just kept getting overtaken. And Ricciardo, yeah, really, really poor from a driver of his experience, like 14 years in the sport now, or in and out of the sport, I guess. But yeah, he shouldn't be making mistakes like that.
And
he's incredibly lazy.
Let's not forget, Tsunoda has pretty much comfortably looked better. Well, he's 2-0 in qualifying, isn't he, Yuki? Should be 2-0 in the race. Like, Ricciardo at the moment, all this stuff we spoke about pre-season, about how he might try and get that Red Bull seat, simply isn't happening, is it, at the moment? There's nothing he's showing that shows that he deserves that top seat. And I think Red Bull is really scratching their heads again.
Back to Norris. Get him in.
Yeah, or keep Perez around for a bit longer.
Or just keep Perez,
really,
yeah.
Better this year. I think the thing is for Perez, it just feels like, you know that meme from The Simpsons of where they're all watching Homer at work? And they just
going to go wrong.
Exactly. Just be patient. He's about to do something stupid. That's what it feels like watching Perez still in that car at the moment. Because as soon as he has one bad race, it will absolutely fall like a house of cards again, won't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'm just looking at 2023. Red Bull had 4 1-2s out of 5 at the start of the season. And then from there on, they only had 2 more.
Yeah.
All season.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not unusual for Perez to start the season well, is what I'm trying to say.
No, exactly.
So we'll give it 3 months and we'll see what we're saying then.
Wonderful. Wonderful. But yeah, that then meant, obviously, like we said, Red Bull, another 1-2. Charles Leclerc, really quiet, but fantastic P3 again. Piastri, I almost got my bold podium prediction bang on there, Jamie. Piastri cooks around Jeddah. He's been better than Lando both years they've been here. Alonso, clearly the Aston Martin had more race pace than it did last year. Did walk home in P5 ahead of Russell. And like we said, Behrmann, he was almost best of the Brits, which is pretty high caliber at the moment there, yeah, to pick up P7. And then with Norris, Hamilton and Nico Hülkenberg finishing P10. And I believe Magnussen held on to P12 because he was the last car on the lead lap. So the 20 seconds meant nothing.
He dropped from P11 to P12 with 20 seconds of penalties, despite ruining the races of everyone below him.
We love it.
It worked out almost perfectly.
Right. That is, though, going to segue us, Jamie, onto our quiz of the day. No. So, you have got 10 answers to this quiz.
Okay. I should probably close my Wikipedia tab with all the drivers' names on, if it's driver-related.
Yes, you should. You should. So, I'm going to give you a minute today. This is... I'm going to try and just make sure that I word this the right way for you.
Okay.
So, what we are looking for is drivers that have competed in the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix and have never scored a point. 3, 2...
Sorry, wait.
Okay.
Drivers who have raced at Jeddah...
Yep. But
in
never
Formula
scored.
One,
yep,
but never scored a point at all.
Exactly.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Never scored a point at all. That's really hard. Surely all of them have. Who? No, there's no rookie. Sargeant did. Wait, no, I've scored a point in Formula 1 or in Jeddah?
No, I've never scored a point at Jeddah.
Oh, okay. Sargeant.
yep.
Joe. Gasly?
Nope.
Latifi.
32 seconds.
Mick Schumacher.
Correct.
When did it start? 21. Raikkonen, Giovinazzi.
Gio did score. Raikkonen is correct.
Who else? 21. Who was rubbish in 2021? 22.
15 seconds.
Vettel. Did Vettel score?
Yep. Vettel never scored.
De Vries.
3,
at least someone
2,
random this year, like Stroll, Albin.
And your time is up.
Your question threw me off. I thought it was never scored a point in Formula 1.
No.
I was
no.
Like,
so
they all have.
I'll give you Stroll and Albin right at the very end there. So, staggeringly, Stroll is one of two drivers that's competed in every Saudi Arabian Grand Prix and
never
still
scored
hasn't scored a point. Mainly because he just keeps stacking it. You got De Vries in there as De Vries.
Yeah, I did
sorry,
say De Vries. Yeah.
There. So he was out of 11. Then you forgot two drivers.
Okay.
One of them is the other driver that's competed in every Saudi Grand Prix and not scored.
There's Ricciardo.
Ricciardo has.
When did he score? Must go for Renault, maybe.
2022, I believe he scored.
I know McLaren. Yeah, he didn't drive for Renault in that time period. Has Tsunoda?
Tsunoda has never scored. He's the other one.
Oh, he's the other one.
You got one more.
Who hasn't competed in all of them?
Yep.
Oof.
I think I'd be safe in saying has the shortest Saudi Arabian Grand Prix career.
Wow. Not this year, probably. No, the grid stayed exactly the same apart from De Vries last year, so it must be 22 or 21.
This is funny.
Who retired in 2021? Vettel, I said.
This is so funny.
Yeah, this is so dumb. I said Raikkonen.
There's so many clues I could give you, but it would just immediately reveal
just
the answer. And I'm just happy to watch you struggle.
Gasly?
Nope, he scored.
Yeah, he must have scored. The shortest Saudi... I said Mick Schumacher.
You did?
Oh, Nikita Mazepin.
Correct.
There you go. What happened to him? Oh, he crashed on the restart, didn't he, with Perez?
I thought it was lap one, to be honest, but yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't lap one. It was on a restart. It was when the restart where Max took out Ocon and Hamilton.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so well, he was probably longer than Stroll's race last weekend. But yeah, fun little fact there. Stroll and Tsunoda, the only two drivers that have done all four Saudi Grand Prix and are still yet to score a point.
Meanwhile, Alonso's got a podium in a fifth place.
Yeah.
That's Stroll's teammate.
It's staggering, isn't it? Stroll is just useless here. It exposes... I mean, I know I ranted about Stroll earlier on, but you got me back on it now. It just exposes how mediocre of a driver he is and how he can't race.
It is a good measurement of how good a lot of drivers are.
I think more than anything else, it shows you how natural a driver is at racing. You know, the fact that Behrman was able to come in and survive shows he's naturally a lot more gifted. Well, I'd say he's better than Stroll anyway, but there we are.
Right now, maybe not. I don't know.
I'd say he is. I'd say put him in that Aston Martin. He scores more points than Stroll. If they were teammates.
I think we're very close. I guess
it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if Behrman scores
would
more
be
points
right
this
now.
Year than Stroll. I genuinely wouldn't say so. I genuinely wouldn't even say Stroll's better right now. I don't care.
Yeah, fair.
Stroll is so useless. So useless.
I'm not as down on Stroll as you are, but I do think he's very bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll move on.
Driver of the day, then, it's pretty easy for me. I'm saying Ollie Bearman. He just did fantastically when you can
see.
See,
I don't want to say
Ollie
Bearman.
I know you don't. Are you going to seriously tell me Nico Hülkenberg?
No, I'm not going to say Hülkenberg. At the end of the day, Bearman, I know context of the thing and I'm ignoring it. I don't care. He lost to his teammate by about 25 seconds. So
it's
I can't.
Charles Leclerc, he had an hour in that car. The fact that you average that out, and even when you factor in the safety car at the start, he was only half a second away from Charles Leclerc at Jeddah, of all places, and you don't think that's worthy of driver of the day?
I think he did well. I think he did well, but I can't give him driver of the day. I'll give it to Fernando Alonso.
Really? Alonso went backwards.
He beat a McLaren, two Mercedes, and a Ferrari.
Wow.
In a car which was not that... His teammate stacked it. Look how easy it is to crash an Aston.
Oh, behave. You cannot seriously say...
Alonso did very well.
A
I think
Fernando
Alonso is very
Alonso
underrated.
P5 was better than an Ollie Bearman P7. You're
I was
seriously
close to giving
that.
It Piastri as well, to be fair.
Piastri deserves a shout-out. That is fair. But
so does Hülkenberg. And Magnussen. Magnussen was the real MVP.
Bearman every day of the week deserves driver of the day, and I will not hear otherwise in that regard.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let's know.
Am
race
I deluded
rating?
For being so down on Bearman? Race rating. I was looking at. Obviously, we're going to keep track of this now. Which
we
is
are trying
for this
to.
Year.
Yep.
I think it was slightly better than Bahrain, which I gave Bahrain a 5.5. I'll give Jeddah a 6.
I was going to also. I was going to keep it at because.
You gave it a 5 in Bahrain.
The thing is, the question we're asking ourselves is: do we, if we give it a 6, does that mean that 60% of the races this year are going to be worse than that? Because it was pretty boring.
That's not how it works, though. It's not a linear scale, is it?
No, I know, but that's effectively what we're saying.
Because if a race is a 2, it's like, I didn't want to watch that again.
Okay.
It's like I wasted my time. I don't feel like I wasted my time watching that race.
It was. I certainly am never going to need to go back and watch it again. Also, Jamie, before I forget to mention to you, have you seen there's a guy uploading loads of 2004 entire races on YouTube?
I bet it's boring, though, isn't it? They never used to pass on track in 04.
Yeah, but it's still a great watch. We'll have to do some live watch-alongs at some point. Would be fantastic. But yeah, I'm going to go again with a 5. I don't think it was any better than Bahrain.
Maybe I just enjoyed it because it was good for Hulkenberg.
Hulkenberg, exactly. Probably. Probably.
Probably.
In our predictions, though, you again pulled out a couple of extra points on me, didn't you?
I did, because I'm just really boring. So, as is the right thing to do, I went for a Max Verstappen pole, a Max Verstappen win.
Yep.
And I went for a Charles Leclerc P2 with a George Russell P3, which wasn't...
It was a bold P3. No.
But because Max got pole and win, and Leclerc was on the podium, I get a little plus 5, which is nice.
Yeah.
Taking
unfortunately,
11
I,
for the season.
I meant Leclerc pole, which obviously wasn't right. And then I said exactly the same podium apart from Piastri instead of Russell. So I was closer to being correct than you in that regard.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I still lose out 2 points.
Doesn't get you any points.
No. Charles Leclerc, 7 front row starts in a row. But unfortunately, whenever I call, he's going to get a pole. It doesn't happen. So if I say Max pole in Australia, then Leclerc will do it. But there we are.
So that takes me up to 11. It takes you up to 5.
Oh, that's painful. At least I get to start picking first now.
Yes, true. We'll go with that from Melbourne. I have one thing to add.
Okay.
Because it's an absolute Howzy moment, but my shout for F1 Academy winner is leading the championship. Abby Pulling, let's go.
I thought your shout was Thingy Marty. Marta Garcia.
We ignore that one. Marta Garcia, no. She is not racing, but Abby Pulling, by virtue of a last-minute penalty for Dorian Pain, Abby Pulling's winning the championship. That's exactly what I said. There
and pretty much until the end of next round when Pin has won both races again and has taken the lead by brute force. Like, there won't be a race this year where Pin doesn't take the checkered flag first.
Like, and she might take it once next time as well, which would be helpful for her, of course.
Hopefully. Although, to me, have you seen her on board from that? Because if you watch her on board, I can't see a checkered flag come out.
Well, there you go. She got a penalty.
Crazy. She did. Which I think was fair, but also unfair. F2, what happened? Amory Cordiale almost won. That was almost depressing to watch.
I was very frustrated because we saw Fittipaldi cross the line when there were 3 cars going side by side to the last corner.
Yeah, that was annoying.
That was stupid. But Dennis Hauger, the hype is back.
We are all on board the Hauger hype train.
And Zane Maloney, after being my shout for third place in the championship and giving a little shout out after Bahrain, immediately broke down in qualifying.
Yep, because Jamie
it's just ridiculous.
It's so funny. It's so funny, but so painful. Again, it just annoys me when we root for the same driver, because it seems like we have completely put Hauger's career into a tailspin. But he is getting better this year again, so
he's
doing
right this year.
Exactly. Have we got anything else to add, Mr. 183?
I don't believe so. We'll cover random bits of news in our preview show next week.
Yeah, we've got a bit of time next week, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah, we have.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all then so much as always for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed, drop us a follow on all the various social medias. And we'll be back next week then, ready to preview the Australian Grand Prix. Jamie, are you getting up at 4 a.m. to watch it live?
I think I am.
Damn it, that means I've got to as well. Okay. We'll be there. Australian Grand Prix. You guys do not want to miss that.